So how your patriotism will form depends on your perception of the land itself. If you perceive the land as a land that was opened up for whites only, then your patriotism is going to look quite different from Thomas Jefferson and others who perceive this land as a land for all people and wrote descriptions of their beliefs and principles that they have put in writing, documents to live for as long as we live in this country. Language that was designed to accommodate not only Christians, but other people who will be coming to this land of freedom and opportunity. Wise men with good hearts and foresight, planning this nation, planning the building of this political edifice of government, United States, so that one day it will not be an offense to any good person, any good and well-meaning person. That it will welcome the Buddhists, it will welcome the Muslims, it will welcome the Hindu, it will welcome the Jews, it will welcome the everybody that come with good intentions and well-meaning. And certainly, every nation, every country. Nothing in their language to exclude any that should be accepted. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men, sin be out of one, are created equal and are endowed by their Creator, recognizing a Creator over all of us. Therefore, they are religious. They made it clear they believe in God. And they do not take authority that belongs to God. So they say these rights are inseparable from the people. They can't be taken from the people. These rights are inalienable or unalienable. They cannot be taken from the people. The people cannot be alienated from those rights, or taken from those rights, separated from those rights, by government or by any other power, because those rights have been given to them by virtue of their creation, their nature, by their Creator God. Yeah. So their language didn't exclude anybody. So the idea that the South imposed upon the whole country and made us suffer under it was really unconstitutional from the very beginning. They shouldn't have needed to amend at any time. The amending is done so that history will be continuous and not lost. That's the only reason why it was necessary to make amendments. They said it did it to have law, yes. Well, the Constitution itself is like an organism. You can't take away what's there, you add to it, it grows. Okay, so this is how it is now. It grew from the beginning, from the idea that was given to us by the founding fathers. It starts growing, and it grows according to our needs and according to what we would submit, allow or not allow. And we look back at it, this part is not acceptable anymore. But you don't cut it off, you just amend it. It's clear and complete enough for them not to have done what they did to us. But as you know, even some of those founding fathers were guilty of having slaves and not changing the attitude of the slave master calling him slave. They died leaving the slave master. So they were much like Mr. Farrar. Do a thing and trust the people with it. Yeah, I know I've got a lot of BS here, but right now, that's what they love, BS. Now, as they become cleaner and better thinkers, define their life a little bit, fine tune their life, they'll get rid of this stuff we left here. See? They're very much like Mr. Farrar. Mr. Farrar said enough in clear, plain language to destroy every vow he submitted to be put in effect in his name. Yes! And the founding fathers said enough and said it's clear enough that in time it will kill every falsehood, every lie that was put in their name. Are they permitted their name to be put upon? This is a wonderful time and day. I don't know. You all can't see like I can. This is a beautiful, wonderful time we're living in. You see how nice that the weather is out there on the 4th? Beautiful day. Yesterday had a beautiful day too. We've been having some heavy rain here in this area. Very heavy rain and in other areas too. Very beautiful day. We thank Allah for the beautiful weather of today. Now, let me watch the time here. I was supposed to be hitting the road right now, but something happened. I don't have to hit the road. And I didn't do it, because I was ready to hit the road. I was committed to hit the road and I was ready. But I was excused from it, so I thank Allah. So what I want to bring to your attention with this address today on patriotism is what I think is missing in most of our minds and hearts, that I believe is necessary, absolutely needed, absolutely necessary for us to really make progress and not keep losing it. Study our history as people. You'll see leaders coming, and they make real progress for us as a people. They make sacrifices. They make real progress for us as a people. They die, and pretty soon, our life is right back where it was before they started stopping us, or even more regret, more backwards, more confused, less meaningful than it was before they started working on us. We need something in us, in our minds, in our hearts. That's what a true patriarch is. He's a person, or she's a person, that lives with something very special as an understanding, as a meaning, and an understanding of what it is to be a citizen of America. And they live with that in their minds and in their hearts. And their spirit is formed of that. And they make sure they have children that succeed them. I mean common families. I ain't talking about rich and poor. Have and have not. Among the poor, there are some real patriots. Very, very devoted to the best that this country offers. And the best tradition that this country offers. And they will not separate from it. And they will make sure that their children understand it and appreciate it. They lose sometimes a child or two, sometimes even more. Sometimes all of their children lose all of them. Not a one is alive. I mean in the heart and mind, not physically. And it worries them, but they die deep in with dignity. They die with strength and dignity. And they just happy that they shared it with someone that wasn't their child. With a friend, with another friend, or with those that would share, would open their ears and invite what they were offering. When I began as their leader, I said to myself, ain't no way for us to achieve what we want to achieve in this country if we don't do what the rest of their life, especially the civil rights leader asking our people to do, and that is claim your rights. Claim your rights. Don't have people tell you you ain't included. Don't have them tell you that no, you can try, but you won't make it. You can invest, but you'll never see what you're after. No. The law should govern the people. What they say is the authority should be respected by them. Now, if they don't respect it, this is my thinking back then. Now, just starting out as your leader. I said, if they don't respect it, that doesn't weaken it. Take nothing from the law that they don't respect it. Whole white race may not have respect for it. If I know how to read it, the law is above the people. All the people. Yes. The law is above all the people until they get the majority of the people to change it. And as long as they can change it with the majority of the people, that law stands. That authority stands. So I said to myself, oh, okay, what they think of me? They may think I'm not worthy of being included as a citizen. Or being worthy of the rights and privileges of citizenship. I don't care. As long as I know there's a law that says I should have it. Until they change that, then I'm going to live as though this country belongs to me as much as it belongs to any other person. I made that my decision long ago. And I said, this is the psychological disposition. This is the psychological disposition that all of us need if we are to succeed in getting out there of this country. Yes, that was my determination. And I thank God wasn't with me. I can't remember a time that I didn't ask God to be with me. I can't remember any time. Mama was a, she could put a ribbon on you if you made her angry or disappointed her. And when I thought she was coming at me, I called on God. Like that poor black man that had been caught by the white mob before the law changed downtown. I called on God and no friend but God. Please don't let her do her thing today. So I had God in my life as far back as I can remember. Not a joke, it's no joke. Serious. Yes. So I said to myself, now I have to share this with the followers. And I have to get them to understand that it's necessary in order for us to make progress in this country toward the goals that we have before us. I'll be like Muhammad didn't leave any small goals before. He left big goals before. He gave us big goals to reach. So I said they have to have that if we're to succeed and be successful. And keep the progress and not lose it. Every time a soldier dies that we were following, it's lost, not to be. And the people have to have what will live in them and what they will live with and hold on to, whether leader is dead or alive. So I said to myself, I have to work on it. And I began. I even worked with the children in the school. So I was over the school at one time on Sony Island. That was the University of Islam. It was saying to Sayyid Muhammad. I worked with them too. From assembly time to assembly time, I would speak to them. And what you have rights to. This goes back before the time of the United States. This kind of perception of your entitlement, you being entitled, or your entitlement, what you're entitled to as a creature of God. On this earth, that man did not make. The Creator made it. Okay? So it goes back to that time, before governments, before man, and his authority. And in Islam and in the Quran. That's where the language of the scholars come from. They form their language upon their studies of the Quran, what God has revealed. Every man created is entitled to what God created. No man is to be discriminated against based upon anything but justice. You can't deny it. So you say, it hurt me, it still kind of hurt me, to know how the poor Indians with their boils and little hatchet spears or whatever, how they were just overpowered, outpowered by those with firearms, and how they eventually lost, and their land was taken from them, and they were put on reservations and told, stay on that reservation, come off of there, you have no protection, no right, no protection. Dictated their life to them and confined them on certain restricted areas or land. That hurt me. But what I have learned about our rights as products of the earth, we say God created us, but we ourselves are products of the earth. And obviously, we are special products of the earth that has the ability to use the earth and even alter the picture of the earth that we live on. Yes. So we are very special creatures produced out of the earth. And this is in the Quran. I'm not giving you nothing that I can't defend as a Muslim teacher or as an imam. So I said to myself, now God says that if you don't behave in a way to keep your rights or your land, he will let another people come and take it from you. So the writers of legality, what is legal for land holding, etc., in the Muslim world, they have put it into writing that if you don't attend your land, then others have rights to it. Now, is that any different in the United States? No. If you neglect your property in the United States, you don't pay your taxes, you can pay your taxes. But if your property becomes a sore eye and a problem for your neighbors can bring you to court. And if you don't correct the problem, the government may take that land from you. Yeah, many people lost their land just because they just abused it. They care for it. So there are rules that go with that entitlement, right? Other rules that go with that entitlement. Now, with that cleared up, let us come back with our rights. Whether you own a house on the block or not. Maybe you don't own anything on the block. Maybe you just share a room with somebody. But you live on that block. When you walk out on that sidewalk and see trash on that sidewalk, it's supposed to bother your heart. Why? Because that's your living shrine, as it's in the German language. That's your living shrine. That's your living quarters. You don't only live in the small bed that you sleep in. You spend time outside. You live outside. You live in the neighborhood. You sit on the porch. You're coming back and forth to that address. And every time you see something bad, it hurts the spirit and weakens your life. When you see something bad and walk in the house and you got something bad on your mind or on your spirit, the bad condition that you have to walk through to get upstairs or to get in the door. So that's your right. That's your living ground. That's your living space. It's your living space. And as a citizen of the country, you're entitled to any part of the public as much as any other citizen is entitled to that part of the public. The public domain is shared by all of the citizens. But they got us thinking that this is a white man's city. This is a white man's street. A white man's sidewalk. They have intentionally manipulated you, and they have intentionally influenced your psychology to get you to have that attitude. Who am I saying talking about myself today? Yeah, oh, it's obvious. He's talking about the white man. No! Talking about the wicked man. Not the white man. I'm talking about the man that wants to keep out as many as he can. Keep as many as he can out of production and reward. He is greedy. He wants it only for a very few. And he loves power. And he knows that if the few can have control over the many and the most of the properties and whatever, if a few have that, they have great power. And no one can challenge their power. They're too powerful. But if the thing is made right, and the many are encouraged to come into production, authority, wealth, his share is going to be diminished. And he won't be as strong, and he won't be able to dictate the life and circumstances and future of everybody else. Who is he I'm talking about? Satan, Shaitan, the devil in man's form. That's who I'm talking about. Oh, God. You say you're speaking as me, man. Where's the authority in the Quran for you to say those things he just said? I don't have time to give it to you, but it's there. And you are not important right now. Believe me, you are not important right now. I'm busy and in a hurry. And I'm sorry. If you can't see I'm your savior, you are not important right now. Oh, he said he's my savior. Yes, any living brother is the savior of the dead brother. If he wants to be saved. If the dead brother wants to be saved. Well, I'm a living brother. I know that. I'm not dead. And I think that's what you have to be living to save, right? Right? When Jesus Christ died, they lost their faith. But he had to be resurrected because he had to save. He had to keep faith. So he was resurrected. So he was back to life. And I was there with him. I was who's dead. And now I'm alive forevermore.
That's it!
Allahu Akbar. Yes. Okay. So this 4th of July is not just for modern times and for the United States of America. The real meaning was this man thousands of years ago came with revelation from God. That's where it came. With revelation from God. From God. About Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, he said that there will come a time when the people will see him and Jesus together. Now, they're together in many ways, and also he's described in the Quran as a man raised up from the people, or from the brethren, like unto Moses. It's like Moses too. Now, first Jesus Christ, what do they have in common more than anything else? Now, they have a lot of things in common. But what do they have in common that's more important than anything else? Jesus Christ and Muhammad, peace be upon both the prayers and the rod. What they have in common more than anything else is that neither one of them were educated by the world. No man, no institution educated them. And both of them were not the children of educated parents. They were not the children of any priest, rabbi, or teacher of scripture.
They both were men that had been blessed by their Creator to be pure and honorable by nature, not by education, not by somebody, didn't nobody teach them into that. They had it by nature. Their own nature gave birth to them. Birth them honest, truthful, pure, etc. And when Muhammad was grown as a man, he kept that original nature. Kept that original, untarnished, unspoiled nature. And the people witnessed it. This is history. So we got what non-Muslims said in history, as documented by the people in that time. What non-Muslims said about Muhammad. They called him a Sadiq. They gave him that title before God commissioned him. Before he turned to God, actually. They called him that. By the way, his people worshipped idols. The Christian world would call them heathen. Idol worshippers, heathen. That's what they were called, the people of that time. The people that he was born among. But history, their history says that he never worshipped the idol. Never worshipped any idol. And they called him a Sadiq, meaning that he was known to always speak the truth. They called him El Amin, meaning that he was known always to be trustworthy. He could trust him, he would never betray your trust. No church made him, no synagogue made him, no monastery, no precept, no nothing. Other than his own nature kept him that way. Jesus Christ is portrayed in the scripture, in the Bible, as being the same kind of life, if you understand it. It says that he was born in a manger, where animals were kept. But he didn't come out an animal. Huh? And both the Bible and the Quran says that he was born pure and his purity was preserved. He didn't lose his purity. No matter what was heaped upon him, he did not lose his purity. And he was born of a pure woman. Pure nature, born of a pure woman. Praise be to Allah. So these men are right. And in time, the learned, the studious, the observant, the curious-minded in religion will eventually discover this if they are not afraid to go in the Bible. If the Muslim student is not afraid to go in the Bible with a non-biased, hardened mind, not prejudiced, not condemning it, but just looking to see what's there, as good as there, to recognize it and respect it. If you go into the Bible like that, you'll come to the understanding that I have given you a Jesus Christ creation. And if you study the Quran the same way, you will come to the understanding that I've given you of Muhammad's creation. It is plain as day in the Quran. Allah said, no, he doesn't have sons like you have sons, a man and a woman get together sexually and have a child. So when he wants one, he creates them. He creates them. And he said, none of you are God. You are the children of your father. Of human beings. Huh? Oh, but not Jesus Christ. Let's see what the gospel says. The genealogy of Jesus Christ, meaning where he came from, is traced back to Mary. Mary traced back to her father. And it goes on back to Adam, the first man, who was created by God. That's the Bible. It's the 4th of July. It's the Independence.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, 1708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409, or Muslim Journal through local distributors. And thanks for listening.